church. Let's read Luke 11:28 together as Derek comes. It says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." You may be seated.
This morning in Luke chapter 12, you can go ahead and turn there. We'll pick up where we left off last week. We just walked through books of the Bible. Now we're in the Gospel of Luke. We're in chapter 12 and verse 13 through 21. And we're going to read these words. It's the title that I've given this message. Does it surprise you? Does the title of this message surprise you? Jesus says to us, to you, be rich. You surprised by that? Be rich. Of course, he qualifies that. He says, be rich toward God. And so this morning, that's what I want you to see. That's what I want to talk about. What does it mean to be rich? And when I say rich, I mean filthy rich, but the qualification is, right, toward God. Be rich toward God. Now, if you like me, I would say, 98% of people who are raised and grow up, the desire from very early on is to be rich, right? Everybody wants to be rich. In the 1990s, the song that goes through my mind when I was in the car with my mom and dad was, I think the group is called Callaway, and the song was, "I Want to Be Rich." I would sing it for you, but you might leave early. "I Want to Be Rich, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la, oh." You know, "I want the pie in the sky." I mean, the whole thing. Who remembers the song, "Want to Be Rich"? Raise your hand if you remember the song. Is that all? That's it? Okay. You know, today's day and age version is Bruno Mars. "I want to be a billionaire. I want to be a billionaire." And he tells all the reasons why. I wouldn't read the lyrics. Just know that kids listen to that. The point is this. People want to be rich. Now, if you're really old in this room and you're like 90s, it's like yesterday, and you're like, "Who's Bruno Mars?" Then you might remember this comic book character. His name was Richie Rich. Richie Rich. In fact, his middle name, he didn't have a middle name, literally. His middle name was the dollar sign. Do you remember that? He's a comic book character, and they had a cartoon about him. I watched him growing up, but Richie Rich just kind of embodied this desire that we as human beings have to be rich. Now, does it surprise you that Jesus tells us in this passage we're going to read today to be rich? And we'll get to it in a second. But so this idea of being rich, and then, you know, come on the scenes, I guess it's the early 2000s, they want to do a retake of Richie Rich. And so they get Macaulay Culkin to play Richie Rich, and they make a movie about it. And you remember when Macaulay Culkin first came out and really on the scene in Home Alone 1 and 2? You remember what a sweet little boy he looked like? I mean, he was so cute. But like probably most parents, they were like, "Macaulay, we want you to be famous. We want you to be an actor. We want you to be rich." And so he gets on this movie, and I'm sure he was a millionaire very early on. And you would think that being a millionaire and being famous and popular and wealthy, like all of us dreamed about as kids, right? I mean, unless you're the exception. And you might be the exception. And if you are, that's really good. But most of us, we just wanted to be rich. And Macaulay Culkin actually got that opportunity. He had the gifts, the skills, the talent, the opportunities, the health. And boy, he made it big. And then he took on that role of Richie Rich. And remember, you see it kind of shift a little bit. He goes from this smiling, happy. And by the way, this is a parable, right? Because this is all movies. This is all make-believe in some ways, but it's really not make-believe, is it? Do you see the journey of a happy little boy? Now, I'm not talking about Macaulay as a person, so this is a parable to say something to you. It's really to do what Jesus is doing. It's to warn us. Because Macaulay goes from a happy little boy to now this Richie Rich young man. He's got his own... executive suite, an executive chair, and look at, whoo, what kind of watch is that? He's really making it. That might be a Rolex there. And, I mean, just sharp. And now I want to show you Macaulay Culkin in one of his recent roles. Something has changed, right? Something shifted. Because if what we've been taught growing up is true, and just suppose that it is, if what we've been taught growing up is true, that the way to happiness in life and the way to real purpose and meaning and significance is to be rich, then you would think that even Macaulay Culkin and the roles that he's playing would show that, right? But I don't see, in this picture, I don't see happiness. Do you see happiness? Do you see merriness? Or do you see stress, pain, heartache? Now, again, this is just a parable. I don't know him on a personal level, but I'm just trying to help you to wrap your mind around what we're about to see in Luke chapter 12, where Jesus says, be rich in God and toward God. So would you stand with me as we read it? If you have your Bible, I hope it's open. Maybe you received notes when you came in. It's on the notes if you'd like to look at it and maybe circle. Yeah, feel free to get a pen and circle things as we read it and talk. There's actually some more passages that we'll look at the bottom of your outline and a little place you can take notes. But Luke chapter 12, verse 13 through 21. I'm just going to read it and then I'll pray for our time and then we'll walk through it together. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And then Jesus said to them, the crowd, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness." Some translations say greed. Maybe yours does. Covetousness, greed. "For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And then he told him a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully." And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all of my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things that you've prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for," here's the key word, you ready? "Himself. And is not rich toward God." Would you pray with me? Father, we confess even in this moment how easy it is for us to fall into the trap of covetousness and greed. And so, Lord, if there's any ounce of covetousness or greed in my heart, in our hearts this morning, would you expose it and would you free us? Lord, free us from ourselves and from sin and from the seductive lies of Satan. And sadly, from oftentimes the counsel of our parents and grandparents and media and leaders. And God, we live in a culture where the mantra is be rich. And so often what's left out is you. And so would you free our hearts and minds and help us to see? God, give us discernment and insight by your Spirit. And Lord, do the work in our hearts that only you can. Only you can do this. And so God, have mercy on us individually, as families, as a church, Lord, as the body of Christ globally, Lord, help us to be rich. We want to be rich toward you. And so teach us what that means. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So Jesus is teaching and preaching. That's what he does. And the multitudes are surrounding. And remember, we've seen over the last few weeks, you can go back and listen to the messages if you've not been here. Jesus is so good about addressing people's hearts. He's not concerned so much with convincing people's minds or amassing crowds around him. He wants to please the Father, and so he knows that the real battle is in the heart. And so he addresses people's hearts. And that's what he's doing. And then when you really address people's hearts, what happens is there's exposure. Exposure happens. And that's what's going on with this man that speaks up in the crowd. Because Jesus is not talking about money. Jesus is not talking about inheritances and, you know, he's not talking about any of those things at this point. But that's what's on this man's mind. And so the moment he gets to speak in a massive humanity, he says, "Hey, Jesus, right here, here I am." And Jesus graciously listens to this greedy and covetous man, by the way, in case you missed it. And the man says, "Hey, now he didn't, we don't get all these details in Luke, but one of his parents has just died, probably his dad. And this man has a brother. And obviously the brother was the immediate benefactor in some way, and so he's controlling the money. And he won't give his brother his part of the inheritance. And so now this man comes to Jesus because in the first century, many of the rabbis, the teachers, they would be arbitrators, which is like an informal judge. If you don't want to go to the courtroom and you don't want to take this to court and have all the fees and everything related to that, you might get an arbitrator who will do some of that, like a rabbi, a teacher in the first century, to try to make peace in the family and try to say, "Here, look, here's what you need to do. Give your brother his half of the inheritance." And so can you imagine this guy? Maybe his dad, we're postulating this. Maybe his dad, his whole life was like, "Son, be rich, be rich, be rich, be rich, be rich, be rich, be rich." And the dad's rich. And the dad's rich, but now the dad dies. He died. And now it's the son's chance to actually be rich. He's been waiting. Now, he wouldn't have told you this. He wouldn't have told you this. But he's been waiting for his dad to die. Now, of course, he was sad. He grieved, I'm sure. But he would now finally be rich. He didn't even have to work for it. Which is the ideal, we think, isn't it? We think the ideal is to be rich, even if you don't have to work for it. That's even better because you don't have to work. And so he thinks, "Here's my chance. My dad's died. I hope nobody's looking, but I'm excited. Because now I get my inheritance." But enter in the other brother that says, "Nope, I'm not going to give it to you." And so now there's conflict, right? And so he's like, "Jesus is a good teacher. All the people are listening to him. I'll go to him. Jesus, tell my brother that I want my dad's, read the will and the testament, and I'm sure he had some 401k reserves in the first century, and he had a life insurance plan, and he had his estate, and I want my part. And so Jesus, give it to me." Notice this. He went to Jesus, not as Savior, but as what Jesus could serve him and get him what he really wanted. And people still do the same thing today, don't they? And so Jesus just responds. He says, "Man," which is like a sharp way to respond. "Man, who made me judge and arbitrator over you?" And then he says to the whole crowd, the guy's the one doing the talking. He doesn't talk directly to him. He says to the whole crowd of people, and he says, "Be warned. You better beware of what's going on in this man's life. You better beware of what you've been hearing your whole life. Beware of covetousness." And by the way, that's about the heart. Because the issue is not money. Money's not evil. Who told you that? Deuteronomy chapter 8. You'll see it on the screen. It's on your outline. Deuteronomy chapter 8 says this. "Remember the Lord your God, For it is He, God, who gives you the power to get wealth. God wouldn't give you power to get something if it was evil. And so you see this all throughout the scripture, right? Abraham was a wealthy man. Job was a wealthy man. Isaac and Jacob, they were wealthy. All throughout, David was wealthy. Solomon was wealthy. Even in the New Testament, you say that's the Old Testament. Okay, Joseph of Arimathea, who allowed Jesus to be buried in his tomb, was a wealthy man. Lydia, in the book of Acts, she was a seller of purple garments. She was a businesswoman. She was wealthy. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Wealth is not evil. Wealth is not evil. What's the issue? It's the heart. Right? It's the heart. It's the heart. Think about Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So the issue is not even inheritance. And so is there a proper place to save and to set aside and to work towards leaving an inheritance for your children and your children's children? Yes, there's a place for that. And so that's not what Jesus is dealing with. Remember, what he's dealing with is this man's covetous heart, his greedy heart. He wants and he loves money. That's the issue, the love of money, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says it this way. He who loves money, you know this, right? Will not be satisfied with money. It's insatiable. It's insatiable. How much do you think is going to be enough? It's like any appetite, whether it's eating, drinking, money, sexuality, any appetite that you put before everything else will never be satisfied. One hamburger, and then you'll have to have two. And then you'll have to have three of the Big Mac Whopper Super Big Macs that they have today. I don't even know what they're called, but you get Super Big Macs. And you get one of them, and you're like, man, I was full. But then if your appetite, if you live for food, then you'll have two the next time and three. And you see what I mean? No appetite is going to be satisfied. One drink, yeah, one drink, two drinks, three drinks, four drinks. It never is. And sex here and there and with this person and these people and these things, and it just never satisfied. Appetites are never satisfied. And money will not give you what you've been lied into thinking that it will. It won't. I promise you. I know this for sure. And Jesus is just trying to confirm that for us. Okay? 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 through 18. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. There's a danger. You're going to think, there's a temptation to think more of yourself when you have more. Nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. See, it's not bad. You can actually enjoy the good gifts that God provides. What happens is if you put the provisions above the provider, you're never going to be satisfied. And so, verse 18, they are to do good and to be rich. See, be rich. Jesus is just saying the same thing that Paul is saying later. Be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, which is another way of saying be rich toward God. You see, he who loves wealth will never be satisfied with wealth. But he who uses wealth to be rich towards God and towards other people will find true joy and satisfaction in God. And so think with me back to the story. This man's heart. And Jesus says, here's the warning. The warning is, beware of covetousness. Because life is not about your possessions. Life is not about your possessions. Life is about knowing God. It's about knowing God. And it's about enjoying God. And it's about serving God. And everything that he gives you, time, energy, gifts, skills, talents, money, houses, cars, everything is for him and for others. And so if you have a spouse, you love your spouse and you care. And if you have children, you take care of them. If you have one child, if you have 10 children, you probably have to have more stuff. But you need stuff to provide food, clothing, shelter. But notice, this man's issue was I. It was I. This is why he wanted to be rich. So my question is this. Why do you want to be rich? Have you thought about it before? Just reflect with me. Why do you want to be rich? Jesus tells a parable, a story. He says, there was a farmer. And this farmer had a piece of land. It was a nice piece of land. A nice piece of land. I mean, big property. And this man was a hardworking man, because you're not going to have crops as a farmer unless you work. You got to wake up early and go till the ground. And then after you've tilled the ground, you got to sow seeds. But now every good farmer or wise farmer realizes there's only so much he can do, because then he can't make it rain. Well, some people think they can with an Indian dance, a rain dance, but that's not going to work. He can't make it rain, neither can he make the sun shine. But he can do his part. Wake up early, plow the field, sow the seeds, put up some scarecrows. Otherwise, the bugs and the birds are going to eat it all up, maybe. And so he does his part, but then he goes to sleep at night and he hopes, he trusts, or at least he should. And this year was a bumper crop. And the farmer, Jesus says, I don't know, he had a bucket of potatoes and he was so happy. Can't you tell he's happy? There's an abundance. We've got more than enough. He can't eat all these potatoes. Was he going to put them in his pockets, in his overalls, few in his mouth, potato chips, French fries, mashed potatoes? I mean, how many potatoes can you have? And so he doesn't have just potatoes, because this is a farmer with a lot of land. He's got an abundance of crops. More than he can handle. More seed, more grain. And, I mean, grapes and vegetables and cucumber. I mean, whatever it was in the first century, right? He has more than enough. And so here's what he does. He goes, And he talks to himself, which is the first error. When you start praying to yourself, something's really wrong. He should have done what? He should have asked God what to do with this abundance. Shouldn't he? Isn't that what he should have done? Is that what you do? He should have said, God, thank you. God, what do you want me to do with this? Do you want me to store some for my children and my children's children? Supposing he had them. He wasn't thinking about them. Who was he thinking about? I. So he wasn't going there, but maybe you could. Do I sell some? Do I give some to the poor? To the orphans? To the widows who haven't eaten in maybe even days? Do I give some to God's work in advancing the gospel among the nations? Do I give some to the church in caring for the people who were in need at that time? Do I support at this time it would have been the priests and the Levites in the temple? I mean, what do you want me to do with this great abundance that you've given me? And here's what this man does, because he doesn't talk to God, he talks to himself. And maybe it's because he's gotten to the point where he can't trust other people. And so who does he trust in? Himself. That's stupid. You think you can trust in yourself? Keep trying. This man thinks he can trust in himself rather than trusting in God. And so he says, here's what I'll do. And he's so wise. And I mean, this is how he got here. He's just a smart man. He says, here's what I'll do. I'll take my small barns. Maybe a small barn or something like this. I'll take my small barn. And it's small. It's not going to be able to hold all these vegetables. Man, these are some good vegetables. It's not going to hold all the vegetables. And so he says, here's what I'll do. It's a great idea. I'm just great like this. I'm just great. I'm great. Here's what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. That's what I'll do. I'll build a big barn. And that way, this big barn can hold all my stuff. And then maybe if I just accumulate so much stuff, then I can stop farming. I can stop working. I can retire. And then what I'll do, notice nobody else is a part of this dream of his. Nobody is a part of this dream. This man is not talking about storing up for, again, his wife, children, grandchildren, the poor. He's not thinking like that. He wants to be rich, and now he is rich. So what does he do? He says, here's what I'll do. I'll store all this up, and then I'll say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods. You have so much. This has been my dream my whole life. I have everything I've ever dreamed of. Here's what I'll do. I'll relax. I'll just relax. I like going to the beach once a year, but I'm just going to live there, and I'm just going to sit on the sand, and I am going to relax. And I'm going to live a life of relaxation. And then, I know what I'll do after that. I'm going to eat. But I'm going to eat like I've never eaten before. And you go to Subway? You go to Subway? Cole, Cole works at Subway. You go to Subway and get you a sandwich. Not like this, though. Cole won't even make you one like this. Well, unless you want to pay like $500, maybe. But now you got it because you got $500. You can say, give me the works. And so you get, you eat. And then you just go to the grocery store. You walk down the aisle. And man, in America, you can just walk down the aisle in the grocery store. And I think I'll take some Cocoa Pebbles and I'll do some Raisin Bran. I'll mix it all together. Cocoa Raisin Brands. And then I just got such a selection. And I can have all of this. I can have all of this for me. It's going to be great. And you eat and you eat and you eat. And you think it'll make you happy? You think all that relaxation is really what you're looking for? And Jesus is saying, no way. No way. You'll be the most miserable person ever. It's one thing to go to the beach for a week. If you live on the beach, you become a beach bum and you will die. If you don't die physically, you will die spiritually and soulishly. But as long as you got your drinks. You got your drinks. All right, get your drink on then. He's gonna relax, he's gonna eat, and boy, he's gonna drink. And maybe it's like, whatever I want to drink. I mean, I'll take Fanta on this meal, and I'll take Dr. Pepper on this one, and I'll take Coke on this, and I'll take some Powerade on this. And here's the thing, remember, don't forget what we're saying. There's nothing wrong with enjoying God's gifts. There's nothing wrong with it. So don't misunderstand. We're not saying don't ever eat at Subway. Don't ever drink anything that tastes good. Don't ever go to the beach. We're not saying any of that. In fact, I think God would say, do that. Enjoy what I give you. And if you work hard and you labor, enjoy the blessing and the fruit of that. And give to your children. I mean, all of that is part of life. That's good. That's good. What's wrong is when your heart is like this man's heart. When you do everything you do for yourself. And so what happens then is the drinks just don't satisfy anymore and you start upping the drinks. And I don't know, it's Maker's Mark. It's not just one little glass, it's 10. And then you're on the beach, you got your drinks, you got your food, and you are dying. You're not married. That's what he thinks he's going to get is merriness. I just want to be happy. I just want to be merry. And Jesus says, you want to be happy and merry? Let me tell you how. Be rich. But be rich toward God. Don't you see it? Don't you see? That's the difference. Here's what Jesus does for us. Listen, he frees us from, not money. Watch this. He frees us from ourselves. That's the real problem for us, isn't it? He frees us from. You say sin, sure. You say Satan, sure. Watch this. Many people miss this. He frees us from ourselves. That's what this man missed, wasn't it? Here's what this man missed, if you've missed it. I'm just going to make it real clear. Here's what the man missed. He missed his mortality. He thought this was all there is. This life is all there is. He missed his mortality. You know what else he missed? He missed his sinful nature. And when you miss your sinful nature that you were born with, that you inherited from Adam, the original sin, when you miss your original sin, you don't guard your heart. You're not warned by Jesus' teaching. You think everything's fine. And when you don't guard your heart and you don't heed Jesus' warnings, you, Christian, I could fall into this man's trap. Don't you see? He missed his mortality. He missed his sin nature and how strong this enemy within was. And worse than that, you see this, right? He missed his maker. That's the real issue. The real issue was this. Jesus told him, right? After the man went through his thing, I know what I'll do. I will just relax. I'll eat, I'll drink, and be merry. And Jesus says, fool! Fool! Why? Because tonight you're going to die. And you're going to give an account for God, before God for everything. And you've been living for yourself since you were born. That's foolish. And I hope you're not living there today. God help us if we're living there. If you think that you exist for you, oh, please realize this morning that you exist for God. I heard the story, a pastor that I have great respect for who leads a wonderful ministry in California. He's not only a pastor, he's the president of a seminary and president of a college, and he has a ministry where he preaches and teaches the gospel all over the world through television and radio. And this is one of those legitimate. He's not robbing people to fly around in jets. I mean, he loves the Lord and he's faithful. And so he said he was preaching. He was actually on a cruise. And so oftentimes he'll take like Alaskan cruises. And on those cruises he'll teach and preach God's word. And he'll bring his wife with him and they'll enjoy the beautiful scenery of Alaska and the good gifts of God, and I'm sure they eat well on the cruises. But then people will come on these cruises, and they'll hear God's word, and they'll grow, and they'll learn. And some people will probably come to know Christ, and others will mature in Christ. And so he was there, and there was a wealthy businessman that was on one of these trips, and he was actually from Germany. And this wealthy businessman was in his 50s or 60s, and he came to this pastor after one of the sessions. And he said, Pastor, I think God is leading me. I've made a lot of money in business, and I've been saving it up and storing it up, and I think God is leading me to give this much money. I want to say it was like $500,000. I want to give $500,000 to this ministry that you're a part of. And so this pastor said, listen, are you sure you really think God is leading you to do this? And he said, I'm sure. My wife's here. We've talked about it. We think the reason why God has given us this is so that we can support the ministry of getting the gospel all over the world. And so he said, okay, well, praise the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. Later that night, this man has a heart attack. Later that night, on this cruise, this man has a heart attack. And so they rush him inland, and of course, this pastor and his wife are there at the hospital bed with this man who has a heart attack, and they're there just ministering to him, and he eventually dies. This man died. But it seemed like he died on a good note, right? I mean, he was listening to God. Now, there's nothing wrong with keeping the 500,000. And maybe he had ahead of time set up a will, and he did estate planning, which is very wise, okay? So that when you die, what you've accumulated doesn't go to other fools. That would be really stupid. And, you know, but some people do this, right? They raise their children to be rich. Hey, be rich, be rich, Johnny, be rich. And really, what the reason they want their children to be rich so that their children will give them money later on in life. Okay, but they don't have to have that motive, but be rich, be rich, be rich, be rich. And if you teach a child to just be rich and you forget about God, then he will be a fool. And you think you're going to leave your wealth to foolish children, and they're going to do good with it. In fact, here's what happens. Read Christian books about finances and read secular books. Read a book like Millionaire Next Door. Read secular books about finances and wealth, and listen to what happens when you give foolish children a lot of wealth. It ruins them. It ruins them. Unless, of course, their hearts are right, and they're wise, and they know God. And here's what they do with that wealth. They're rich towards God. And so this man, he didn't know he was going to die that night. He didn't know. And he knew that God was leading him to give this money, and he did, and he died. And he stood before God. Another story. There's a wonderful book called Money, Possessions, and Eternity by Dr. Randy Alcorn. It's really a biblical theology on money and possessions and wealth. And in that book, he tells the story of a woman, 30s, 40s, very successful real estate agent. I mean, she'd done really well in the real estate business. In fact, she owned multiple condominiums in California. And so she just owned it, and she was a wealthy woman. And she was at a conference, a Christian conference, and the Lord just spoke to her heart. And the Lord said, I want you to sell all of your condos, and I want you to take the money that you make from the sale of all of those. We're talking about millions of dollars. All of those, and I want you to give that money to this particular thing. And she went away. She was like, that's crazy. God, you want me to sell all of this and give it to this? That doesn't make sense to me. And so she wrestled with it for weeks. She should have talked to God more, because she decided not to do that. And a couple months later, the market crashed, and she lost all of the condos, and they all went bankrupt. She didn't listen to God. She did like most of us. She thinks, you know, what makes sense and what the worldly wisdom, and we think this and we think that. But listen, you don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know. I mean, God knows. And you might live another 60 years, and so you might need that extra. God knows. I don't. And you don't either. That's why we should not talk to ourselves or worldly wise people. This is why we talk to God about everything. Because here's what he wants. Here's what he wants. Some of you may think he wants your money. Are you kidding? As though he needs your money. Come on. The Creator needs your cash? Here's what he wants. You ready? He wants you. He wants your heart. And he knows how easily money and possessions can capture your heart. And you know what he does? He wants your heart, and he frees your heart. And you know how he does that? By his grace, by his Spirit, and he teaches you to not be like this, but to be like this, to be rich toward God, to give to God, to give to others, to be rich in good works. You say, I just don't know if I'm rich. Did you know that if you make $25,000 a year, $25,000 a year, you're in the top 10% of wealthy individuals in the world? $25,000 a year. You're in the top 10% of wealth in the world, which means there's a lot of rich people in this room. If you make $45,000 a year, if you make $45,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of wealthy people in the world. You say, I don't feel rich. Oftentimes, we don't feel rich because we're not seeing wealth and riches through the lens of God and his word and his wisdom and his counsel. So we're going to continue this next week. Jesus continues to talk about these things. He deals with anxiety. We're not going to go there today. Next week we will. And did you know oftentimes one of the roots of anxiety, not always, okay, but oftentimes the root of anxiety and worry and fear is this issue of covetousness and greed? And Jesus says, I want to free your heart up from anxiety, worry, and fear, but you've got to listen to him. You've got to listen to him. And so are you listening to him this morning? How is he leading you to respond today? For some of you, it may mean this. It may mean for the first time you repent and you turn away from yourself and your sin and you trust in Christ to forgive you and to cleanse you, his death, his resurrection. And that would be a wonderful step, because what he wants really is you. For others, you may have already done that and you're growing and you're maturing. And so what is the next step of maturity and growth? I don't know what it is, because we're all in different places and we all have different lives. I might die tonight. You might die next week. I mean, we don't know, but he does. And so what does he want you to do? How is he leading you? And some of that might be planning, thinking ahead, thinking about your will, thinking about your estate, thinking about inheritance, thinking about, it could be that. It could be, I think I need to give this, I need to give this, I need to go here, I don't know what it's going to mean. But what is the next step of being rich toward God? Would you stand with me and pray? Father, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for freeing us from ourselves. Thank you for not needing us, but instead loving us. Thank you for not using us, God, but instead blessing us so richly. And so, Lord, teach us to talk to you, to talk to you and to listen to you. Give us wisdom and discernment about all of our possessions, all of our things, Lord. We want to be wise with everything. We want to enjoy what you've given us. And we also want to be rich in good works, rich in good deeds, rich toward you. And so teach us that. Teach us how to save. Teach us how to invest. Teach us how to give. Teach us how to earn. Lord, raise up an army of hardworking men and women and children who labor and toil by the strength and power that you provide and who you give to. And Lord, may their hearts be in tune with you so that the wealth that you give us would be used for your glory and praise. And so, Lord, I pray that. I pray that your people would be rich toward you. And so, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in this room who doesn't know you, that they would take the step of trusting in you and that they would identify with you through baptism, that they wouldn't wait any longer for that. And so, God, as we sing this next song, would you speak to us? And would you do the work in our hearts that only you can? In Jesus' name, amen.